Soil carbon is having a moment, and it's one that's long overdue. In Canada, the federal government has committed to the Paris Agreement to reduce greenhouse gases by 50% by 2030. They're proposing a national carbon tax to be applied to all industries, including possibly agriculture. And it remains to be seen if farmers would receive a credit against this tax for practices that improve soil carbon. Provincial governments are focused also on soil carbon by supporting best management practice programs to improve soil health. Globally, the organic agriculture sector has identified soil carbon and health, along with climate change and biodiversity, as key elements of its new organic 3.0 framework. So what determines soil carbon levels on farm? Essentially, it's the net effect of management, or the balance between the rate of return of carbon residues as influenced by productivity and crop rotation versus the tillage intensity, which influences mineralization of carbon. And finally, the soil type may influence the overall soil carbon carrying capacity. For some industries, it's particularly challenging to maintain soil organic carbon because of either the low residues left by the crop and sometimes frequent tillage required for cropping, such as, for example, the conventional potato industry. In Atlantic Canada, this industry has identified as a priority developing agronomic solutions to help intensify the rate of carbon return to soil and increase soil organic matter. But organic livestock and cropping farms may also vary significantly in intensity of management with respect to the frequency of forage use, green manure use, amendments applied, and fertility regime, in particularly whether phosphorus levels are maintained, plus tillage intensity. All of these impact on soil carbon dynamics and soil health. So does organic farming overall maintain soil organic carbon? Well, various long-term studies in North America and global reviews suggest organic farming generally at least sustains soil carbon and in some cases may increase it. But perhaps considering total soil carbon, shown here in the figure as primarily total SOC stocks, is too crude a measure of sustainability. We know that when carbon enters the soil, it moves through first a labile or active soil carbon fraction, and this fraction contributes tremendously to soil health, soil structure, and even soil resiliency. In fact, most studies have shown maintaining this labile fraction is particularly where organic farming may have the most to offer. Given all of this, what might be the best measure to gauge sustainability? Or just measure total carbon, or some measure of the labile or new organic matter, such as particulate organic matter, microbial biomass, or maybe even mineralizable carbon? Or what about simply measuring earthworms as a bioindicator? In earlier studies looking at the long rotations of organic potato farms, we found earthworms after the potato year dramatically recovered over the five-year rotation, and this was true also for the microbial biomass shown here in the bottom left graph. But labile carbon, measured in these studies as light fraction and mineralizable carbon, was less cyclical and was sustained and more stable across the rotation phases. And perhaps these latter measures are a better indicator of the overall net effect of this farming regime. In no-till studies on green manure termination, Carolyn Marshall, a PhD candidate, has noticed that earthworms also preferred the no-till approach to green manure termination, but their population still gradually recovered in the years after tillage in those regimes where tillage was applied, shown here in the hatch bars in the figure. In contrast, labile carbon, shown here in blue as the particular organic matter carbon, didn't differ between the treatments and is maintained at a relatively high level of 20-25% of total carbon by all treatments. Some models suggest we can predict the soil organic carrying capacity of soil based on soil texture, but these models need regional validation and adjustment to combine with perhaps new understanding of the optimum level of labile carbon as well. Finally, farmer decision support tools that would help organic farmers understand these farm carbon dynamics and position their farms as beneficial to both soil health and total soil carbon would be very beneficial indeed.